Well, Sandy texted me this morning. She's South Carolina. She's praying for us, for me and us. And let's see. Gail texted me this morning. She's in Maine. She has a little place there in Maine, and she's in Maine. What a lovely time to go. Don't wait until it's winter in Maine to go. And then Willie and the family and Ron are at a family reunion in Pennsylvania, big family reunion. So it's that time of year, you know, where we still have some nice weekends to go places and do things. And but I'm glad you're here. I am so glad you're here. And I want to know what God's saying to you. That's what we're looking at all this month. What's God saying? What's God saying to you? I had a dear friend, Dan Weed, minister friend of mine, and who's passed away now, and he always used to say, "Dave, what's God saying? What's God saying?" And of course, he would like put me on the spot, you know. I mean, if I said to, you know, "Hey, Midge, what's God saying?" You know, I mean, you're like, "Well, let me think of it, you know, Lorna Doones, I don't know." I would like to publicly thank Midge for Lorna Doones. Keep them coming. So, anyway, What's God saying? It's never been more important than in this time, and I'm sure other people, they've been through difficult times, you know, difficult times in this country and in their lives. And but I think we're in a special time where we really need to know what God's saying because of the mixed messages that are going out. There's a lot of mixed messages. And we know that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I see a lot of instability, you know, in people's lives and in church structures, all kinds of structures. So, you know, it really seems to me that it's really important to really know what God's saying. And that's going to take a practice. You know, you just can't come up with what God's saying off the top of your head. You know, you can to make something up so you don't look bad, like I would with Dan, you know. Jesus wept. You know, I mean, but when someone puts you on the spot, you know, what's God saying? So we're talking about cultivating that whole thing. So, you know, I feel that we've never been in a time like now where we need to trust God. So, you know, I told Sandy as soon as she asked me to preach, I said, "Do you trust me?" Immediately, I know, "Do you trust me?" And I'm not talking about me. I know you guys don't trust me. I can be whacked. You know what I mean? I can have some whacked thinking. Right, Bill?
That's what we like about you.
What?
That's what we like about you.
But, you know, when you speak to people, you can sort of begin to tell if they don't trust you. You know what I mean? It's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know. Or they might look at you, or the ones that are on their cell phones, you know, they don't trust you. You know what I mean? But you can sense mistrust when you're telling somebody something, you know. And you might think, "Oh, he's going to talk about love again. Oh, geez. Love, 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 love. All you need is love. All you need is love." Sing it now. "All you need is love, love, love is all you need." I didn't put that in my notes. But anyway, so trust. In the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs really, in the Proverbs, the introduction says, the key words in Proverbs is wisdom. So we're trying to develop wisdom over our lives as we grow older. The ability to live skillfully. There's a skill to life, living life. And we're learning life skills. And we're using the Word of God, the Bible, to learn these life skills. That's why, you know, we encourage you to be in the Bible, in the Word of God. You have to have some direction, something to a process to live skillfully, to raise children skillfully. Woo! Difficult times. To a skillful, godly life in an ungodly world. And, you know, I mean, ungodliness is blatant all around us, but we still can live skillfully in that. We can still navigate through that ungodliness, through that life. It says how to relate to God, parents, children, neighbors, and governments. How do we relate? How are we relating as Christians to these systems, these people? Solomon, the principal author, used a combination of poetry, parables, short stories, and wise maxims to give in striking memorial a form of common sense and divine perspective necessary to handle life's issues. You can't do this off the top of your head. Oh, you can. Oh, I tried that. You know what I mean? Woo, it was painful. It was difficult. It was destructive. It was frustrating. It was, you know. But when you have kids, hi kids, I'm so glad you're here. You have the Word to immerse yourself in, to look at, you know, to get direction and correction some. And we all have issues, life issues. We all have issues. We're dealing with issues, many issues, daddy issues, mommy issues, authority issues, prejudices, all these issues. And that's why you mistrust. Because maybe you had, you know, a bad dad. And authority represents a father image. And so you think God is nothing but a punitive God, an angry, judgmental God. And I'm telling you, I'm going to this early, but if you live in a punitive system where all you can see is judgment, anger, and punishment, it will bite you eventually. Now, I'm not saying there is not punishment. I'm not saying there is not circumstances that you'll get hurt in. But if you live in a punitive system all the time, it will hurt you. I mean, there's a lot of punitive systems out there. I mean, take, you know, the banking system. Oh, come, get a loan from us. Get a home loan from us. Oh, yes, get a, you know. If you don't pay that thing off, it's going to bite you. They will bite you. I mean, if you're in a punitive system in a church where they're judging everybody, criticizing everybody, eventually, if you fail, they will bite you. I'm telling you, they will bite you in that system. They will hurt you in that system. And we're all going to fail. God won't bite you. But punitive systems, that's why God said, don't live there. Judge not, lest ye be judged. It's for your benefit. Because he knows when you live in that kind of mentality, you're not going to access his presence. You're just not going to do it. Because you're going to be grounded in criticism, anger, and frustration. And I don't care how much worship you listen to, you will never rise above that. Never. Never. You have to discard that whole thing. Oh my gosh. So it says here in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. He's speaking to our hearts. I know I can't change your mind, but God wants to change your heart this morning. If that's all you can see is we're living in judgment. People need to get what they deserve. It's coming. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have what you need to get through skillfully in this life to raise your children properly, to relate to your neighbors properly, to, you know, live a skillful life. You're just not going to. You know, the word trust is patah. Patah. Bold confidence where you find security. See, our security is in Him, not in systems, certainly not the banking system. It's failed before. I remember 1928 when it failed, it crashed. I lost everything. Figure it out, folks. Oh, but it's failed. People jumped off buildings. The country went into the dumper. Oh my gosh. Horrible situations. It can happen. This is used 158 times in the Bible. This word, 158 times. So I think it's important. This word, trust. Do you trust me? Whew. Like never before. It's a key principle to successful living. Trust is a key principle in successful living. To handle life's issue, trust is the key to confident living. I am fully persuaded. I am that nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Fully persuaded. Woo, that's my favorite scripture. I have boldness. I have confidence in Him, not in myself. I am not a self-made man. I am a God-made man. No education, no degrees, you know, just a kind of simple person who failed a lot and God forgave so profoundly one day, July 17, 1979, that it never changed my, it changed my life forever. Changed my life. Oh my goodness. Whew. Whew. Now I know you come here with preconceived ideas about religion, politics, economics, social opinions, all these things, but we're not here to change your mind. I can't change your mind. I'm here to change your heart. God wants to touch your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your mind. This does not make sense, especially in this day and age. God wants to touch your heart. Oh, it says, and lean not unto your own understanding. I don't get it. Although when people talk to me, I say, I get it. I get it. I've been saying that a lot lately. You know, people been through difficult situations. Like, I get it. I get it. But I don't get it. I don't get it why, you know, I was at a funeral yesterday of a person I love very much. You know, only 50 years old, vibrant, wonderful. I don't get it. I don't get it. But I'm going to have to trust. See, eventually it's all going to come down to trust. I mean, eventually it's just going to come down to trust. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to trust. All your skills, all your knowledge, all your understanding, you know, eventually it's going to come down to trust. Trusting God with your life, your family's life, because things don't turn out the way you expect. Whew. I raised my kids in a Christian home. Not one drop of alcohol was ever served in that home. And now my two boys run a bar. What? Oh my gosh. Unexpected. I love them. I bless them. I go visit them. They treat me like royalty when I go there. Whew. My goodness. I mean, just things don't turn out the way you expect. You know, I mean, oh my gosh, are you listening to me? Shoo, lean not unto your own understanding. Whose side are you leaning on? Whose side are you leaning on? I'm leaning on the Lord's side. I mean, I just got to lean. You know, people are picking sides. They're picking sides. They want to divide, destroy our unity. Destroy us, our unity politically, socially, religiously, the whole thing. They want to divide. God wants to unify. He talks about unity, oneness. That's what he's about. The unity of the Trinity, three in one. He demonstrates it all for us. That's where our strength is. And he wants to divide and separate us so we're not strong in love, in grace, and mercy. Oh, do you trust me? Do you trust me? He says there, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Every way. Every way. All your ideas, all your preconceived notions. He says, acknowledge me. What do you think, God? Let's run it by God. Not your best friend, your prayer partner, you know. Certainly not your wife. I mean, Judy and I can't even choose paint together. The color of paint, we'll fight over a paint color, you know what I mean? And you know her love language is paint, painting. I came home the other day and I caught her. She had paint on her hands. I said, you've been painting again, haven't you? Behind my back. She went, yes, I have. Oh my gosh. Don't sit still, she'll paint you. Oh my goodness. What do you think, God? Acknowledge him in all your ways, every way. What are you saying this morning? But it's going to take some time to sit down and listen. See, we're not good at sitting down and listening, are we? I love sitting down, listening to God. But I'm sort of wired that way, you know? I'm sort of, I have two speeds, slow and slower. I go into a place, I look for the best chair. You know, why are there no chairs in this place? You know, I was in Home Depot the other day, and they mix your paint. They had no chairs there. They expect you to wait for the paint. I said, "Where is this? You need chairs here." They need chairs. You know, every place needs. I think it's bad for retail when they have chairs. They want you to keep moving. You know what I mean? Keep shopping. You know, because you know the more we shop, the cheaper it gets. I think I saw that slogan the other day. I went, what? Wow, mind control. Oh, a direct path to God. We have a direct path to God in Christ. I mean, direct. We don't have to go through me. Dave, what do you think about my future? You know what I mean? You don't have to go through me. You can go right to him. I'm in here to encourage you to go to him. Go to him. Listen to him. Trust him. Do you trust me? Confident disciples. That's what he wants. Confident disciples. Confident in God's love. Confidence in God's mercy. Like I said, any system that is not built on peace will bite you. It just will. I've had life experience. I've been in religious systems that if you fail, they will throw you out or shun you or judge you or always talk about you. Whew. We can't live in that punitive system and not access the presence of God. God is love. How can we access God through judgment when he is love? Whew. Oh my goodness. There's a direct route to God. It's knowing his love. It's knowing his grace. It's knowing his peace. Direct route. Ooh. What does it say in Isaiah 26:3? I will keep them in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Oh, it's hard. With all the messages, all the stuff that's going on, all the chaos that's going around, is to keep ourselves focused on the one who loves us, the one who cares about us. It's hard. It's really hard sometimes. Because why? He trusts in me. We put our trust in him. That's what we do. That's the direction we go. That's how we encourage one another. Trust in the Lord forever. forever. The Lord is everlasting peace. Every peace of man has been temporary. Every peace of man, peace treaties. Oh, go ask an Indian. You know what I mean? How awful. The peace treaties that have been broken and devastated their life and communities. You know, I mean, peace treaties that we've made with other nations, peace treaties that people have made. There's only one shalom. Shalom, God's peace. He is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no barriers in Christ. There's no barriers. We have to keep understanding. We create barriers. We create racial barriers, social barriers, economic barriers. Oh, I break through them. I am not impressed by anybody's money, okay? Not anymore, because I've worked with a lot of people with big money, and they're struggling with heart issues, head issues, physical issues, the same way the poor folk are. They're struggling. Oh, my, with all this stuff. Oh, he is our peace. Oh, in times of turmoil, our own understanding of security does not work. It just does not work, our own understanding. Our own strength, our own ability. Eventually, you're going to have to trust God. It can be taken away in a minute. I mean, you're just going to have to trust God. Come to that place of trusting God. I don't even want to talk about kids with you guys. You're doing a great job. I know you're doing a great job. But eventually, you're going to have to trust God with them. Trust me. My daughter just sent her son away to college. And now they're going to have to trust that what they put in there, you know, is going to manifest in a wonderful way. Oh, they sell a lot of security systems. Don't they? As fast as people design, find out how to get around them. Security systems in your phone, in your computer. You know what I'm talking about? Security. But people are working constantly to get around your security system and scare you into doing something. Buy this. Buy that. And they use fear. Any system that uses fear is a false system. I'm telling you, folks, I have learned that. If I haven't learned anything in my 40-some years of being a believer, it's a false system. It's a false system. And people like systems that they can put their trust in man, not God. Not God. See, because it's hard to comprehend. Your own understanding can't comprehend this level of security, this level of love. Whew. I'm telling you what. It says, what about Social Security? Now they're telling me I didn't pay into it. It's a benefit. What did I do all those years? I paid into it, you know, and they took it out of my check. And now they're treating me like they're very gracious in giving it to me. And then others say it's going to be gone. You know, you read something that says, you know, they're going to increase it. Then you read something else, a conflicting message, and it's going to be bankrupt. It's gone. You can't count on that. Well, what can I count on? Count on him. Trust me. Oh, we're going to have to trust like never before. It does scare me a little bit how this country spends money. Ooh, what are they just cranking it out? You know what I mean? I mean, it is a little unnerving from a, you know, person who was raised in a system that, you know, if you saved money and you know, there was this kind of system where there was backing for the money over there in Fort Knox. Remember that fallacy? You know, Fort Knox is backing the money. I think we've departed far from that, folks, somehow. And we're just spending. Oh, in all our ways, we acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Oh, he wants to show you the path of life. He really does in this hour. And Jesus demonstrates that in a beautiful way. You know, here he is with his disciples. We're going to read this. and he just has fed the 5,000. What a blatant message. You know what I mean? I can provide. I mean, the disciples were the ones that went and picked up all the remnants. They saw. They knew it was only two loaves and some fishes, you know, five, thank you. I mean, they knew it. And then they go pick up the remnants, and he's trying to teach them something. He's trying to teach us something through this, folks. Through all the things you've been through, I've learned a lot through my difficulties, through watching people in difficulties in this place. I have learned so much about love and about grace and about mercy, about healing, all these different things, about faithfulness. Oh, my goodness. We've learned so much in this hour. And what did he say? When Jesus went, I'm not there. He says, after he fed the 5,000, he says, immediately. Woo! I love that word. Jesus does not fool around. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Are you in the boat, Ken? Are you getting in the boat? See, a lot of people don't want to get in the boat. You know, well, I'll just stay here on the shore. I'll watch you guys. You know, I'll watch you guys go. And if it works out for you, I'll get in. You know. I mean, you guys that are here this morning are in the boat, all right? You're in the boat. You jumped in, both feet. And he said, get in the boat. Get in the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. Everybody's not getting in the boat. Everybody's not going to get it, folks. I'm sorry. They're just not. We got to love them anyway. Whether they're in the boat. And of course, they're in different places in the journey. You know what I'm saying? They're in different places. Some are still on the shore watching you get in the boat. You know, well, if he gets in the boat, maybe I'll get in the boat. You know, if it works out for him, maybe. You know, people are watching what you're doing during this time of difficulty. That guy still likes Jesus. That guy's still doing what Jesus said to do. That guy's still doing what the Bible tells him to do. That guy is still loving the unlovely. That guy is not angry and critical and judgmental. And well, they're watching you, folks. I'm telling you, they want to keep you out of the boat. Actually, some of them don't get in that boat. Don't get in the love boat, folks. Don't get in that love boat. Oh my gosh, that's frivolous. See, in our own understanding, the love boat doesn't look practical. Woo. Oh, it doesn't look like that's what we should be in. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went on a mountaintop by himself to pray. Whew. So Jesus is praying for us for the upcoming storms. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is the right hand of the Father, watching us go through our times of trouble, and he's praying for us. You can do this. You can do this. I'm praying for you. Oh, and it moves us from fear to faith. The prayer of Christ moves us from fear to faith if we understand that's what he's doing. He's trying to move us. See, prayer is a lens. It's not a list. Write that down, somebody, because I did. Prayer is a lens to what we see life through. It's not a list. It changes our perspective. And you wonder why everybody is fearful and angry and frustrated? Because they are not seeing through the lens of Christ. And we are called to see things through this lens, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know the love of Christ that's beyond my understanding, my natural understanding. See, we need to see things through that lens. And you're going to have to train. That's what worship is all about. It gets us to a point walk in that door full of stuff to get us to a point to see things through that lens. See, why do they sing that chorus so many times? To get your head in a different place. Well, I'll just come late for worship, you know. I am so glad I'm in a worshiping church. I need to get my eyes out of my... Oh, my goodness. That's what he's doing. He's praying. He knows that we're going to be tested. I mean, this is a picture of testing. He knows we're going to go through stuff, hard times. He knows that none of us is going to escape hard times. Oh, we're all going to be going through difficult times, and he is ever living to make intercession for us. Oh, but, you know, it's the interesting thing. I love backing up a little. Jesus feeds everybody, not just his disciples or the one that professed love in him or said this prayer. Jesus feeds everybody. Wow. But not everyone gets in the boat. Even though he loves and feeds everybody, not everyone gets in the boat. Not everyone's going to get it. Feed them anyway. Feed them anyway. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. Follow the example of risen Christ. If you're a Christian, love them anyway. Feed them anyway. Bless them anyway. Bless those that hurt you. Didn't he say that? Oh my goodness. Oh, so the wind of adversity is blowing now. It's blowing now. And he says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea and tossed by the waves, for the winds were contrary. Oh, how many are living in a sea of adversity? Oh, my gosh. My kids are still calling me every day. Oh, hi, talk to your mother. When they want to talk to their mother, you know. I mean, they're going through stuff. They're going through stuff. God knows we're going to go through stuff. What does the sea represent? The sea actually represents God's provision. Do you know that? The sea represents God's provision. Weren't they getting their provision out of the sea? The fish? He says, set your nets in for a catch. It's God's huge provision. It's God's immense provision. An ocean of goodness. An ocean of love. An ocean of mercy. That's what it represents. And Jesus is out there walking in it. Oh, he's just walking in it, you know. Jesus is walking in grace. Jesus is walking in love. Jesus is walking in mercy. Oh, but they got their eyes on the wrong thing. Whew. They got their eyes on the wind, adversity, all the problems. We need to shift our focus. In this hour, we need to really shift our focus. Whew. Now on the fourth watch. That's the hour, darkest hour, isn't it? Darkest hour. For some of you, you're in the darkest hour you've ever been in. The fourth watch, Jesus is still there. He's still there with us. Some think this country's in the fourth hour. The fourth watch, Jesus is still there. Trust him. Trust him. The fourth watch that Jesus went to them walking on the sea, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Oh my gosh. Many of us are troubled in the midst of great provision, tremendous provision. You know, do I have to tell you, been in the store lately? Oh my goodness. I know there are shortages, but they're hard to find. Okay, amongst all the other stuff that's in there, you know. And I know it's expensive, but it's there. Okay? God's provision is there. God's provision, God's grace. He has not pulled his grace from this country. People want to say that to incite you into a punitive system where God's bringing judgment. They love it. It just tingles their soul. You know, they're getting what they deserve. You know, well, come on. If that was the truth, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. We're still blessed beyond measure. I am. Okay, I don't know. And I know you guys are blessed. Now, I struggle with people who are hurting, that's for sure. But, and I try to help them. I try to give where God directs me to give. You know, it's just an opportunity. So he's walking, and they were troubled, and they cried out for fear. Whew, the disciples. Not faith, they cried out in fear. How many have cried out in fear? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Midge, for that honesty. Oh, God, help me. Or, oh, God, help my kids. Or, God, it's all right, cry out. Cry out in fear. It's all right, he's not affected by it. You know, he wants you to cry out to him. Cry out to him. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Woo-hoo-hoo. Be encouraged. People dislike me when I'm encouraging, you know. They want me to go in the ditch with them. Oh, brother, the end is near, brother. I'm telling you, whoo, it's coming. No, I ain't going there. I'm telling you, I am too old to go there. Okay? It affects me physically. I can't go there physically. It affects me emotionally. I am prone to fear. I am prone to fear. I'll be perfectly honest. And when people are predicting crash, doom and gloom, judgment, tsunami, and everything else, I get scared. Oh, God. Oh, God. God does not want me to live there. It's not healthy. I'm telling you, it is not a healthy place to live. I want to be healthy. I want to encourage other people. I want to be the healthiest believer I can be. I'm a believer. I'm trusting God. Whew. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. He's saying to you this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Ooh. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. And he said, come on. Come into my provision. Come into my ocean of blessing. Come on into my sea of love. Come into my sea of love. Come into my sea of grace and mercy. Come on, come on, come on. Whew. Walk out here with me. That's what he's calling the church to do. Come out onto the ocean of love. Look through a different lens. Oh, my goodness. I've never been more sure of this in my whole life. And I want to be around people who are going to talk to me this way. Don't be afraid. Come on. Don't be afraid. Walk in love. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit on them. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. Love them. Oh, my goodness. And he saw when Jesus walked on the water to go to Jesus. Whew, beautiful story. Wonderful. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink and cry out, Lord, save me. Oh, I've been through this thing in the last 5 years with the cancer journey of being encouraged, being afraid, being, you know, hopeless, being hopeful, being, oh my goodness, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. And he's been there every single time. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't know what you're going through. Oh, and immediately, I love that word, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. He's stretching out his hand to you this morning, and you. He's stretching out his hand to you this morning and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Elect Jesus. Oh, I love that t-shirt. Elect Jesus. Ooh, he's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. Oh my goodness, it's so wonderful. Immediately, Jesus held out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And even though he doubted, he never took away his hand. Did he? Never took away his hand. Even when we doubt, his hand is still there. Faithful, forever. Sing it for me, May. Forever, come, forever. Well, spontaneously did say, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. Wow. That's what it'll do for you. It'll get you into worship. It'll put you into worship. Worship is designed to move us out of our own understanding to the mind of Christ, which is perfect peace. That's what it's designed for us to get out of our own understanding. You don't want to miss worship. You'll come in here in your own understanding. You won't trust the message, and you'll walk out the same way you came in. Angry, frustrated, and fearful. And then I worked up a sweat for nothing. Ooh, and I'm sweating. It's going to be a gusher, folks. That's what God said to me today. It's going to be a gusher of his love. It's here. His mercy, his grace, his goodness. Oh, that's what I love about this church. Oh, love that outpouring, an outpouring of who he is, of who he really is. Who he really is. God is love, and there's no shadow. It says there's no shadow of him turning. Doesn't it say that? Oh my goodness. I just believe the Bible. Oh, we resist worship because it's not always comfortable. Got to get here in time. You know, might not like the songs. You know, who knows? I don't know. But it breaks you out. It just breaks you out into that realm where God wants you to live. See, he wants you to live in that realm. He wants you to be in that place. Now, we're going to have communion. Ooh. Okay, so get up. Get your communion elements. And we're going to take communion together. And we're going to end this in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is the most wonderful psalm in this hour. I've prayed it my whole life, Christian life, and just continues to be a blessing. Just continues to be a blessing. Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells or takes up residence. This is where we live. Not this sanctuary, but he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I told you, everybody's not going to get it, folks. They rather live in fear, frustration, anger, doubt, because they can feel it. It almost brings life to them somehow, you know? They get excited and angry and they get together and talk about it, you know? And you know the problem. You know the problem. They don't live in the secret place. The secret place is a place of joy and peace and love. I got to get there every day. I can't say, you know, I'm aware of it every day, every minute of the day, but I have to get there at some point in the day to set my day, or I have to go there during the day. Oh, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. See, we have to step out of the punitive system based on punishment into the secret place. And not everybody's going to get it. They're just not going to know how to get there. But we're going to lead them there. I want to lead them there. To that secret place, the Most High. Step into the secret place. And when we take communion today, communion is a trusting in what has been done for us at the cross. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't seem possible. But when he says, do this and remember it. And as often as you do, do it in remembrance of me. See, it's a remembrance. Oh, thank you. Oh, step into it. And you shall abide under the shadow, overshadowed by the presence of God. Just like in the Old Testament, the cloud that followed them by day and night. There is an overshadowing of God over me all the time, even though I'm not aware of it or thinking about it. It's there. It's there. I'm telling you, it is there, trying to affect your life. And worship just moves us into that higher realm. It just moves us into that place. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is a fortress of love. He is a fortress of grace. Oh. In any system that is teaching you performance, you know, I think that some conferences and some teaching only drives you into performance. I'm going to do that. Yes, I'm going to do that. And instead of moving into the secret place of rest, I can't do that. Do it for me, Lord. Do it for me. You're there. You're for me. Who can be against me? Who can be against me? Oh, you have to be wise in this hour, folks. You have to be wise. We have to trust the place of rest. Trust in the place of rest. And when you get to the weakest point in your life, you'll understand this. When you can't lift a hand, when you can't do anything on your own, you can't cut your own grass, you can't, you know what I mean? You can't do it. You're going to have to trust God. That's what it's going to come from. When you pray, can't go to the intercessor's meeting, when you can't go to the Bible study, when you can't do all the stuff, you're going to have to trust God. The finished work of the cross. My God, in him will I will trust. In God, in him will I trust. It says this is what we declare. This is our declaration. Let's say this together and then take communion. I will say of the Lord. Let's say it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Let's take communion together. I just want to thank you for being in the boat with us, for being here with us. And don't forget, Monday night, Betty has Free to Be Me. And Wednesday night, we have our Bible study. So we invite you. There'll be no prayer this Monday because Sandy's out of town, but just and invite somebody to church. Invite somebody who is fearful, who's weak, who needs help. Invite them. See if they'll come. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that we can put our trust in you this morning. And as we received a remembrance through communion of your great sacrifice to earn this trust. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can have coffee and, I'd like to say donuts, but coffee and bagel.